Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, February 10th, 2019, and today's show is Those High Cancer Cure Rates. What's behind that? So we're going to take a look. As you know, I'm on the curious side, so I was just looking up stuff and looking into stuff, and I thought, oh, my God. So that's today's show. We're gonna share it with you. But first, we're going to say hi to the Facebook crowd. There is a... It's not... We got that. All right, let's just turn this off. And we'll try again. All righty. Oh, here it is. Button was split. All righty. So what is behind those high cancer cure rates? So we're going to take a look at breast cancer, and this is really typical. You can really apply this to just about any cancer. A lot of people, when they hear the word cancer, like, oh, my God, cancer. So let's talk about a definition for cancer. That always helps. A lot of times you get things defined and you're real clear and precise about things. They're a lot less scary. So first of all, if you look up the word cancer, and we're going to trust the Google Dictionary here. It's a disease. We got to look at the word disease, make sure we understand that, caused by an uncontrolled division of abnormal cells in a part of the body. All right. So in order to have cancer, you got to have a lot of things here. First of all, it's got to be in the body. Check that. The cells have to be abnormal. They cannot be normal cells. They must be abnormal. Got that? And division means they must multiply and create more of themselves. They must reproduce and grow. Uncontrolled means they can't be stopped. So you have so now you've got these cells. They're not normal. And they're growing and growing and growing. It's uncontrolled. So like, wah! Okay. So this is fast growing. That'd be pretty fast. At a fast clip. And it has to be a disease caused by this process. So this is all very, very precise. This is what cancer is. But wait, what's a disease? Well, a disease is a disorder of structure or function. So the body has to function improperly. Or the structure of something has to be inappropriate. So these two things have got to be the case, one or the other, in a human, animal, or plant. But let's talk about people.
Yeah.
And it has to produce specific symptoms that affect a specific location and not a result of injury. Okay, so in other words, if you don't have symptoms, you don't have cancer. How cool is that? How cool is that? Like no biopsy needed? So if you're not having symptoms that disorder your function, you don't have cancer. It's not cancer. So you have to have symptoms. They have to interfere with your function. And then the cause of that dysfunction has to be the uncontrolled division of cells that are not normal. Can't be normal cells. Abnormal cells. All right. So you got this in your mind, you're with me, good. So let's take a look at breast cancer. So any diagnosis of cancer in a person without symptoms is fraudulent and false, since it does not fulfill the definition of cancer. Okay, this is like real clear. We're keeping this down to the grade school level here. Now, in medical school, I did go to medical school. It's hard to believe. I can't believe it myself sometimes. So in medical school, I said, cancer is so severe, it grows so fast, it kills so quickly, that we have got to measure survival in a 5-year window. So whether the cancer is present or absent at the 5-year point, if the person is still alive, we call it a cure. So now, this is a fast forward 2019, there are people with cancer who are living 10 years. Guess what it's called? No, it's not called a fraudulent cancer diagnosis. No. It's called a double cure. How cool is that? So you're getting the gist here. And so what really got this going was someone was trying to explain to me that they had cancer. And the cancer, of course, breast cancer, is DCIS. So I figured I would take a look at what is the survival rate for this particular cancer. And, you know, you want to, whenever you're considering therapy, the question is, well, geez, what are my chances, right? Like a guy says to a girl, hey, what are my chances? It's the same with cancer. What are my chances, right? So, what better individual to take a look at than the Cancer Society, right? The authorities. Well, let's look at the folks who study this and who know. This is breast cancer survival rates. This is a real unable to open. All right. Don't worry, we're cool. I don't want to open it on my computer. I get it. You know, sometimes technology is just not perfect. So if we go to the Cancer Society people, I think we might have this already open somewhere. No, they won't open it for me. Let's give it another try and see if we have a better attitude this time. Unable to open it, not locate the internet server. Well, let me locate the internet server. Oh, am I even online? Nope, they say they can find a server. All right. Okay, so what the Cancer Society says is that the survival rate for this particular breast cancer is 100%. 100% survival. I'm like, holy cow, that is awesome. That's impressive. Well, then we always have to look at the research, right? Because in cancer, the cancer studies, they're always trying to compare and figure out what's the best therapy. So if we take a look at the medical industrial complex, their own research, and what they are saying in terms of survival of this particular cancer, they're saying survival is 100% no matter how you treat it. You can do a lumpectomy, which means a very large biopsy, or you can do take the lump out and do radiation therapy, or you could do a total mastectomy, radiation and chemotherapy. There's always different permutations, but you will get 100% survival no matter what treatment they give you. Well, wait a minute. Then why get any treatment at all? There's a question. So I would ask that question, but not everybody would ask that particular question. I can see how people might have a different set of, you know, processes. But there's a question. If a cancer is getting a 100% cure rate, no matter what therapy you use, then why not use the most minimal therapy, which would be lumpectomy? But then wait, if the survival rate with lumpectomy is 100%, what would the survival rate be if you did nothing? Any guesses? I'll wait. Hey, write down your answers. You got it. Answer is 100%. So we have a cancer here that has no symptoms, so it fails to meet the criteria for disease. It is not dividing out of control. It controls itself very nicely because we live just as long as a healthy person with no cancer. And yet, it has a label of cancer, and there's all this intervention. So what's really going on here, then, one could say, is healthy people are being labeled as having a disease, when actually they have no disease. They're healthy. So this is just basically a labeling process. But it gets better than that. So another question is, how do you calculate survival? And now notice that the language has changed. So way back in the dark ages, that would be 1979 to 83, when I went to medical school, they called it cure. So the five-year cure. So if you lived 5 years after a cancer, even if you were riddled with cancer, bedridden, tubes coming all out of your body, you were counted as a cure. Even if the cancer was still present, even if you had devastating, poor quality of life as a result of the cancer, you were considered to be cured. Like my father, he had osteosarcoma. He lasted 5 years and 2 days and dropped dead. He was a cure. He was cured. So that's the way this is calculated. So I sat down and did some calculations myself. You know, my fourth grade math is pretty strong. So I said, well, wait a minute. We have people here in the United States, 325.7 million of them, as of 2016, as the latest, the most recent year for which data is available. And that year, 2.8 million people died. So the gross average death rate is 0.86% a year. So less than a percent a year, 0.86% a year. So in 10 years, a person who's healthy today, in 10 years, has an 8.6% chance, call it 9% chance, of dying. Car accident, homicide, suicide, I don't know, pneumonia, who knows, whatever. But chance of just dropping dead of any cause. So the question here is, at the end of 10 years, what is the probability that a person with cancer is going to be alive? And we're looking at DCIS. Now, what I was not able to find, in the old days, this data was available online, but now it's not. What is the year-by-year mortality in the United States? So if you're 60 years old, what is your chance of living to be 61? If you're 61, what's your chance of being 62? And if you have those probabilities, you can determine the 10-year survival rate in a healthy person between the age of 60 and 70. So between the age of 60 and 70, what percent of people are going to drop dead? Well, just because. I mean, because they're human, you know. So that number I don't have. So I had to average it out here, right? 8.6 or 9%. And that's averaged over a lifetime. That's the annual rate of dropping dead. It's going to be substantially higher in a 60-year-old woman, which is the average age of breast cancer diagnosis, by the way. All right. So here's what I figured out. You got this DCIS thing going on. In 10 years, 90% live. We looked at another study. 90% live with full treatment. I happen to know, did my math here, right, that at least that 91% of people with no cancer and no treatment are going to be alive in 10 years. Those numbers are not statistically significantly different, just by the way. It's for you to understand. So those numbers are identical. So basically 90% of all healthy people are going to be alive going forward 10 years. With this particular cancer, if you have full treatment, 90% chance of being alive in 10 years. Now, if you have the cancer and no treatment, chances of being alive are exactly the same. But here's another question. There is a survival called relative survival. What does that mean, relative survival? That means your chance of survival compared to someone else who is healthy. So now you have a situation, 90% survival, no disease, no treatment. 90% survival, full treatment. Now 100% survival, because why? You're dividing a 90% healthy, or into the 90% survival of the disease people, and it comes out to be the same. Any number divided by itself is 100%. So relative survival becomes immediately 100%. But wait, you have 90% survival of healthy person, no cancer. So there's four categories. Cancer, no treatment, 90% survival. Cancer, full treatment, 90% survival. Cancer, full treatment, relative survival, 100%. The actual gross number of people who survived in all cases is the same number. But 100% is obtained by dividing two numbers by each other that are equal to each other. Okay. And then, of course, healthy person, no cancer, 90% survival in 10 years. So here's a question. You got this person. Oh, doc, I've got... The doc says, oh, you have DCS. Oh, no, what are my options? Well, if you get full treatment, it's 100% survival. That's a better survival than with a healthy person who didn't have cancer. Which numerically, statistically, the way the numbers are manipulated, that's true. But numerically, the number of people surviving at the end of 10 years is the same. Whether you're healthy, no cancer, no treatment, or whether you have cancer and get treatment. So, you know, which would you take? If your doctor told you 100% survival for this and 90% survival for that, well, I'll take the 100% survival. And so what this does then, because of the statistical manipulation of instead of giving the person the crude percentage survival at 10 years, the person is deceived into thinking if they get chemotherapy, their chances of surviving will actually be higher, when really it's not. And so, of course, an unsophisticated person would take the 100% survival option, right? But that option is just represented as a ratio of two 90% survival options. The outcome is the same, no matter if you have cancer, don't have cancer, get treatment, or don't get treatment. And a person, again, not familiar with this calculation system, will pick full treatment of chemo, surgery, and radiation every time. Of course, it gets worse. So then, of course, there's researchers, and they do studies. I love the studies. So if we go to the government, and the government is in on this. They're telling me I don't have internet, but I don't believe that. Because I'm broadcasting. Oh, I know. Why don't I copy and paste into the browser box, and then I can find it. All right, so the government, they're looking out for your welfare here. They decide they're going to weigh in on this. Here they are. Okay, and this is absolutely shocking. And this is life expectancy after curative intent of breast cancer. In other words, someone got breast cancer. Doctor said, I intend to cure you. And did whatever he did. Maybe he cut the breasts off, maybe he did chemo, whatever. He did his thing. And so they're looking at long-term survival rates. This is in the National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health. And we will share this with, let's just share it with Facebook. Okay, so everyone wonders, like, what's cancer really? What's cancer really? Even doctors wonder, like, what's cancer really? Because it seems to have so many different faces. But this study opens it up and makes it very clear without really any intent to do so. So what they're looking at is long-term survival rates after treatment of breast cancer are directly influenced by early deaths resulting from disease. Whoa, whoa, whoa. These early deaths, what are they resulting from? There's a question. For longer-term breast cancer survivors, survival rates appear deceptively low. We have a theory that the actual survival curve for long-term survivors approaches the overall survival of the general population. And I'm not going to confuse you with, well, gobbledygook, let's just give you the answers. So comparisons of survival were made for 3-, 5-, and 7-year breast cancer survival cohorts. And they go by stage. Just put this, let me get that.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back. Healing with Dr. Daniels, and we are talking about those amazing cure numbers for cancer. Yes. Now, there's a lot of really interesting questions on Facebook. I think I better handle them because Facebook makes them go away after a while. but somebody asked, what's DCIS? DCIS is ductal carcinoma in situ. And that is an excellent question. So ductal means milk ducts. Carcinoma means cancer-like, not really cancer. In situ means sitting in place doing nothing. In situ. Now, if you look up in situ, the definitions get really convoluted and you get more confused than when you started. But in situ means literally in place, unmoved, unchanged. And that totally violates the definition of cancer. It can't be cancer if it's in situ. It can't be. If it's sitting there doing nothing, not changing, it's not cancer because we read the cancer definition, which means these cells divide and change, divide and change, divide and change, divide and change, and grow and grow and grow uncontrolled. So if it's in situ, it's not cancer. That's straightforward. And now we see a proliferation of in situ cancers. And now they have other in situ cancers. They have lobular carcinoma in situ. And they have in situ cancers of other locations in the body because this has really sold very well, and a lot of people have jumped at chemo, surgery, and other interventions for this in situ disease. And in situ sounds very mysterious. Like, oh, my God, what's that? Oh, no, that sounds terrible. I better get on it. So that's the Inside 2 story. All right, Randy, we're going to handle Randy's question. Randy's got a good question. Randy says, the moral dilemma posed by having friends inviting you to fundraisers to help pay for their chemo when you don't believe in funding an evil system, but it makes you appear to be unsympathetic. What have others done? I don't know what others have done, but I'll tell you what I would recommend. So I have a family full of chemo ingesters. So I am like totally, completely sympathetic. There's two ways you can go on it. Oh, sorry, I'm a little tight right now. I can't really contribute, but I really wish you the best. Is there anything else I can do for you? You know, can I come? Can I cook for you? Can I clean your house? Can I help you with this? Can I help you with that? That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is saying, hey, friendship is friendship. Separate your friendship from the medical industrial complex. So when you give your friend a birthday gift, for example, let's say you give them $200 for their birthday, whether they go gambling with it, whether they buy $200 in white sugar, whether they put it towards a vacation, who knows? It's a gift. It's theirs to do what they want with. And since you're a friend, you respect their freedom and their of choice to do whatever they want with money you give to them out of friendship. So that's the way to handle it. You've got to first get your mind right about it. Like if you figure that giving your friend money for chemo is like giving an alcoholic money for booze, then offer him something else. Like the alcoholic, offer him a warm place to stay, offer him a blanket, you know, there's all kinds of things. Offer him a meal. So if you have a person who's got cancer and they're going down the chemotherapy route, they're going to need a lot of help. And they're going to appreciate your friendship and your help, probably even more than your money. So I would let them know that, hey, you're with them on this. You're sorry you can't attend the fundraiser. You know they're having financial problems. You're not able to help financially right now, but here's other ways you can help. And you can, offer to help them in those other ways. You can help them get groceries. You can help them by sitting with them. You can help them with all kinds of stuff. Yeah, take the money you would have put in the fundraiser and go buy them, you know, a bag of groceries. That's what they want from the grocery store. And get them what they want, even if it's, you know, a pound of cheese and a cheesecake. Whatever. Cedric, interesting question. What about the rate of people with people that went through alternative therapy? So people who went through alternative therapy and chemo, not I won't say chemo, but conventional therapy, did worse, supposedly, than people who did conventional therapy alone. Now, there's a lot of problems with that study. There's a lot of really just explosive noise and protests on the internet. But that's a whole nother can of worms. But the one comparison that is not being made is conventional therapy and doing nothing. And that's the therapy that needs the comparison needs to be made. What's now being done is in cancer studies, they compare doing what we do now to this new method. Is doing what we do now better or worse than this new method? If the new method is better, then we'll switch to that. And if the new method is worse, then we'll stick with the old. That is not a true controlled experiment. There's not a group that has no treatment. So that's that story. All right. Okay, so we're looking at the story, the study, rather, that indicates what is really going on with cancer. What is cancer, really? And when I read this study, I said, oh, my God, that's it. So we have another commercial, and when we get back, we'll find out.
No, please don't go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Give such delight.
Dr. Daniels. And today we are talking about those awesome cancer cure rates. All right, so we figured out the cancer cure rates are mathematical. But wait, if we take a look at the latest, at these studies, life expectancy after treatment. Okay, if treatment were effective, what would you expect? If treatment were effective, you would expect life expectancy after treatment to be dependent on what? Treatment. Are we right? Right. So if treatment was effective, life expectancy would be dependent or predicted by the treatment. So let's take a look and see. And this tells us a few things. It tells us about treatment and tells us also about the cancer disease. So the survival of the general population was constructed by using national life tables with an age-matched population. So in order to... I'll see if I can get national life table. I'm going to go check that. With an age-matched population. All right, we got that. Comparisons of survivals were made for 3, 5, and 7-year breast cancer survivor cohorts. And so all that number, all that information is irrelevant. What's really relevant here, that stage 1 patients have equivalent or better survival compared with the age-matched general population than all three cohorts. You're like, holy cow, therapy was effective because the stage 1 patients live just as long as healthy people who never had cancer, right? Oh, here's another piece of news. Stage 2 patients reach equivalent conditional survival between 8 and 9 years after diagnosis, regardless of cohort. So in other words, whether you were 50 years with diagnosis, 55, 60, 40, doesn't matter. If you were stage 2, your survival was poor or your death rate was higher than the healthy people for 9 years. Well, it looks like the therapy for stage 2 wasn't very effective. Huh? All right, that gets better. Stage 3. Stage 3 patients required, and these are the stages at diagnosis. This has nothing to do with did the person progress from stage 2 to stage 3 during treatment. No, 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 no. This is stage at diagnosis. So stage 3 patients required 10 years. I'm sorry, required 11 years. So you have 0 years for stage 1. Stage 1, just like no cancer. Stage 2, it took 9 years. And stage 3, it took 11 years. In order, and after that time period, the people who are still alive, had a survival equal to or slightly better than the rest of the population. The slightly better than is also extremely important. So patients with stage 1 cancer return to general population risk as early as 3 years after diagnosis, whereas higher stages can require up to 11 years, 9 years, to achieve parity, that means sameness or same benefit, with a more generalized population. These findings should be factored into general health screening issues for long-term breast cancer survivors. In other words, it makes no sense to screen a breast cancer survivor after 11 years. That's what this study is trying to explain. But what it really reveals is that breast cancer is a disease that is not affected by therapy. That when you're diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer, if you're going to die, you're going to die in 3 years, and then you'll be perfectly healthy. It's like a 3-year cold. You're going to get over it. If you're diagnosed at stage 2, you've got a 9-year cold. A lot more death. And if you're stage 3, you got an 11-year cold and more death. So this is very interesting. So now what this does is it paints cancer as a temporary condition that lasts anywhere from 3 to 11 years. Very, very interesting. So once you understand that, and we know therapy is not effective. Why? Because the survival is not dependent on the therapy, but on the stage of diagnosis. So basically, your doctor is just watching your cancer, and slicing you and dicing you and filling you with poisons and zapping you while he watches your cancer. So this study just kind of lays it bare. Now, this study was done in 2014 in June. And they used 237,000 patients, all right? So it wasn't like they used a couple hundred patients, whatever. They looked in the database. It was 237,000 patients, and they used data from 1988 to 2002, even though the actual analysis was done in 2014. So this is amazing. So what's cancer really? According to this, cancer is just one big, huge cleansing reaction. And so if you have a cleansing reaction going on, that when your body has cancer, it's trying to throw off a bunch of toxicity, and it's trying to put together all the toxins of the body in one space. So now we understand why cancers grow so quickly, because it's not the cells dividing. It's your body shoving toxins into that one space at a very fast clip in an attempt to survive. So once you get that, you're like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. So what's going on is your body is throwing all excess toxins in one spot, then why don't you give your body a little bit of help? You know, maybe poop some more, you know, soak in some Epsom salts, you know, flush out your liver, whatever, just to kind of help your body kind of pull back from the brink. Most people, well, not most people, everybody shows up at the doctor's office alive, right? So whatever your body is doing, you are alive. So literally, it might be that once you get the cancer diagnosis, first of all, according to this, if you have stage one cancer, it's not even worth treating because it's just, you know, it's going to be gone before you know it. But why not do a little bit of cleansing? I mean, don't go overboard. No, nothing big. But just do a liver flush every now and then. Just to keep, you just want to keep yourself alive and functioning and living your life. So this study here suggests a totally different approach to cancer. Not only cancer surveillance for survivors, but cancer intervention for anyone with cancer. So what you want to take a look at with your cancer is what's the survival rate? The survival rate for your cancer, first of all, don't accept any relative survival rates. The relative survival rate means they divide your cancer survival rate by the overall survival rate for your age-matched people in the population. In other words, it doesn't mean it has nothing to do with survival, basically. So what you want is a crude, C-R-U-D-E, crude, or five-year survival rate. That's what you want. So if that survival rate is, I would say, even 90%, I would say opt out of therapy. Say, hey, see you guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the diagnosis. You know, much love and, you know, have a nice day. That's what I would say. Because your survival has nothing to do with the therapy. That, for me, was a shocker. And here is the study. They looked at 237,000 patients. I think that's a pretty good sample. And they decided survival was independent of therapy. The only thing to determine your survival rate was your stage of cancer. That brings up another another issue. Question is stage 2 cancer at diagnosis a progression of stage 1 cancer? Is stage 3 cancer a progression of stage 2 cancer? It might be, it might not be the case. It might be that the cancer shows up, boom, stage 2. It might be that these are actually 3 different diseases. That's another possibility as well. So, where does that leave us? So in doing this study, it reveals that cancer is actually a short-term disease. And if you have stage 0 or 1 cancer, your survival is pretty much the same as if you never had cancer. If you have stage 2 and you survive 9 years, your life expectancy is the same as all other people your age, you know, once you're 9 years out. And if you have stage 3 disease, you survive 9 years. Your life expectancy is the same as for healthy people your age. So there's no need for continued screening, as I said, beyond 10 years of diagnosis. But the question is there ever any need for screening at all, even up front? And the answer is no, because screening detects what? Stage 0 stage and stage 1 disease. You don't need to detect that because survival is the same or better than the regular population. So there you have it, deceptive numbers to get people to believe therapy makes a difference when, by their own studies, it does not make a difference. There's not a long-term difference in survival of breast cancer with intervention. Now, this is the case with many cancers. The medical industrial complex itself says that overall it impacts of 100 people treated for with chemotherapy, surgery, radiation, you name it, whatever, only 3% are improved as a result of that therapy. The rest experience an outcome they would have experienced anyway without the therapy. So that's what you really need to look at, is what's your incremental benefit to therapy? So if you do nothing and your survival is 87%, you take therapy, your survival is 90%. Your incremental benefit is 3%. So you're paying 100% for 3% benefit. And again, you've got to figure out, are you a gambling kind of person? At what point do you let go of your cash? Do you let go of your cash for a 3% return? If you do, you will soon be very, very poor. In other words, when I say 3% return, I mean 3% return. I mean total loss of capital, and you get 3% of your capital back. We're not talking about interest on your capital. So Marie says, I once read that a doctor cured leukemia in children with 3 antifungal drugs. Exactly. These are kids with stage 0 leukemia. And that's another scandal, is that a lot of kids who are diagnosed with leukemia are actually just plain healthy. So Teresa says, what about stage 4 without surgery and chemo? Again, the question is, would the intervention make a difference? The answer is probably not. In other words, we know it's not going to make a difference in stage 1, 2, or 3. The study did not look at that. So honestly, I mean, I can't answer it based on research. I can only answer it based on deduction. If therapy does not affect stage 0, 1, or 2, or 3 cancer, I would expect it would not affect stage 4 either. Cedric said, there's one type of leukemia that is very curable from what I hear. Again, in leukemia, they have established a leukemia in situ or stage 0 leukemia that has a survival equal to not having leukemia at all. And what this does is it satisfies people's need for a label before they undergo mutilation and poisoning. How come some people have all these symptoms with cancer? So Sarah, not all cancer is imaginary. If you have no symptoms, your cancer is imaginary. Now, if you have symptoms, you do have cancer, and that puts you into the stage 2 or 3 category we talked about. And what they found was long-term survival was not determined by therapy at all. So yes, some people have cancer. Most people, I would say, well, actually, they have those numbers too. The percent of breast cancer that's stage 0 is 20%. So at least 20% of women who are told they have breast cancer don't have any, they're healthy. I didn't check the percent that were stage 1. You had no idea. I mean, it took a half hour just to find out the percent that were stage 0 or DCIS. So these statistics are actually amazingly difficult to find. All right. Here's Devon. Says, I was afraid to put Vicks in my eyes as well. However, day 6 now, had floaters at that time, and couldn't see out of that left eye. Now I can see out of the eye. Yes, it burns slightly. Then I went to bed because you should do it at night. Now I have no problem putting Vicks in my eye. Yes, exactly. Difference between natural healing and conventional healing is with natural healing, you really have to suck it up, and it takes an incredible amount of courage as compared to regular healing where you just like, do me. And they just do what they want with your body. And they have a lot of anesthesia and stuff. Okay, Bertha says, good morning from Houston. Good morning, Bertha. All right. What do I recommend for kids with low-grade fever and flu-like symptoms? Stop giving them milk. Stop all the dairy. A lot of flu cases in the schools of Alabama. It's all in the dairy. Stop giving that kid his carton of milk. Tell your kid you ain't getting no dairy at home and don't eat none when you go to school, or just homeschool them and don't give them dairy. That's what I did. I just homeschooled my kids, gave them no dairy. Guess what? No one ever had a fever. So Cedric says, so Doc, all they're doing is padding their statistics so you give them more money for their new boats and vacations. Now, Cedric, let's unravel this, make sure we're being precise. These statistics are not created by the same doctors that administer chemotherapy. That's important for you to understand. These statistics are created by the government, by hospitals, by folks that sell chemotherapy. They are the ones that create these statistics. The result is that there are people who get more money for boats and vacations. Who are those people? Again, another discussion. Not being a conspiracy theorist myself, I don't concern myself with that discussion. I'm just trying to help everyone become healthier. And maybe a little richer because you can just keep that money in your pocket. All right. Instead of dairy, what other product? That's like me saying, let me take a knife and slice my arm. And, oh, what should I use to slice my arm instead of a knife? It's so dangerous. I'll just stop it. maybe use some water. Drink some water instead of dairy. Yeah, drink water. Distilled water. All right, and we will be back before the
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With Dr. Daniels. So our next piece is where I tell you what you should do instead if you've gotten the word about the big C, and then we'll take questions. So if you've got the bad news that you have cancer, you need to ask a few more piercing questions. Like, doctor, is this stage zero, stage one, or stage two? And then he'll blah, 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 blah. But whatever he says. If he says zero or one, you can throw yourself a party. You're doing just fine. And if he says stage two or more, then, you know, basically, you do have a disease. But first of all, how did you find out you had cancer? If you found out through a screening test, ignore it. If you found out because you have some type of dysfunction or symptom, then, you know, you do have a disease. You should instead address the function or the symptom. But if you have cancer, or you've been told you have cancer, first step is, do you have any symptoms? No symptoms? Guess what? No symptoms, no disease. That's the definition of disease. You have to have symptoms to have disease. So that's the first thing. Okay. So let's say if no symptoms, done. Out of here. Go live your life. No more testing. You're done. Let's say you have symptoms. If you have symptoms, then you need to, what I would do is address the symptoms naturally through increasing nutrition, increasing cleansing, and you can go to vitalitycapsules.com, download the report, and it talks about cleansing diet and different ways of cleansing. But that's the simplest thing to do. But the thing you need to really understand is what the doctor has in mind for you will not increase your life expectancy. In fact, it will decrease it. And what they said in the study was that the death rate after diagnosis was very high. And that's because the difficult therapy was started, and a lot of people died just from the therapy right off the bat. A brace to help with left foot that's a flat due to ankle sprain. I don't get it. What's the problem here we're trying to take care of? We got a limp here, we got some pain, what's going on? What do you think about almond milk and elderberry syrups? So almond milk, you know, that you leave that right there on that shelf, let someone else buy it. And elderberry syrup, you can make your own elderberry syrup. Buy frozen elderberries and just pack them in sugar, and boom, you're going to have some syrup. I distill my water, and I use Mega Home Distiller. What is your opinion on stem cell treatment? Not a fan. And we are going to commercial, and we will be back.
I saw you there, just standing there. I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again. You said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN.